Well, Pinkies, what fun we've been having today. Today I risked myself, I risked incarceration and handcuffs and being abused by a not very attractive policeman. I gotta tell you all about it. But first, let us talk about what's been going on around here. We're going to get right out of the way right away. Some shout-outs and thank you. No, it's not shout-outs. It's shouts out, isn't it? It should be shouts out. Now then, I first of all would like to say a thank you to that Peter G, who sent me a little prezi in the mail of hair conditioner. So, you may have seen me tweet this several weeks ago on Twitter. Peter G sent me a bunch of teeny tiny bottles of hair conditioner and a very nice little card with a crane on it, the bird, not the machine. Or was it a heron? Maybe it was a blue heron or something. It was a very, very large bird. So thank you, Peter G. Thank you for that lovely present. Speaking of birds and things, I just want to say to John, Ranger John, I so very much enjoyed one of your most recent episodes where you were just by yourself. You had a very lovely piece of music at the beginning of the show and a little private deck chat. I have to tell you, I really miss the deck chats from many years ago, where all your friends would sit around and you'd yak and talk about things and enjoy the scenery off the deck. This last episode definitely reminded me of that, and it was very, very nice, John. Very, very nice. So finally we've heard from the little Aussie battler. He's selling his house, looking forward to move on to different things. I think that's a very good decision, Scotty. I think you're going to be quite happy. Wondering what's going to happen. What kind of a dwelling are you going to end up in? And will you have to have a boarder to help pay the rent? So lots of interesting things happening for Scotty. He's definitely working very hard. Trust me, as a homeowner myself, I know you can't just let things go. You gotta be continually maintaining these properties. And it can be expensive. So where am I coming from right now? Interestingly enough, we're coming up right now upon the scene of the crime where I was nabbed by a constable you may not believe this, for not wearing my seatbelt. Now, this infraction occurred almost fully 2 years ago, 2 years less 30 days ago, on this very point that I'm passing by right now. I was pulled over and issued a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt. If you can believe that. Now, clearly, I had to dispute this because that officer obviously made a grave, grave error. How could he have not realized I was wearing my seatbelt? I don't know how he could have seen. I don't know what was going on. Maybe some sort of visual acuity problems, the sun glinting off the windshield or something, must have made him realize or think that I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. In any case, I had to bring the order to court to defend myself against such an outrageous allegation. Now, the interesting thing here in British Columbia is we have a process where justice should be served within a reasonable period of time. Now, 2 years less a month is not considered to be a reasonable time. Now, the only problem is there's a very specific method by which you have to enact this ruling about justice served in due time. Now, I didn't exactly follow the rules quite correctly. And usually when I dispute these things, the cop never shows up. Or sometimes I'll just petition for a reduction of fine. Today, the judge was handing out $100 fines instead of $165 fines. So, that's pretty good. However, I approached the constable today to ask him to withdraw the ticket because it's been so long. And he said, no, I'm not doing it. Prick. So then I said, well, you know, I argued my case. 2 years, what the hell, come on. No, you can adjust, blah, blah, blah. But she won't do it. Yada, yada, yada. He was lying to me. Or he was presenting the most optimum situation, which happens to not be quite correct. Imagine that, a police officer not entirely telling the truth. So then, feeling that I was getting nowhere with this, I asked to review his evidence. So this is a valid question. You can ask to see the police officer's evidence, and he will give you... They usually have some sort of a little write-up of their story about how, what happened with the ticket, where they were when they pulled you over, yada, yada, yada. This guy had a little, piece of paper, what were the conditions of the day. I actually have that evidence now because I requested it from the judge because he refused to provide me evidence. So I actually had to go to trial on this one. Usually you just get them thrown out and you're done in 15 minutes. This one I had to fight for. So I had to go to trial. I had to plead not guilty. And I petitioned the judge to review the evidence because the constable refused to share his evidence with me. So she was very amenable to that. So the cop was pissed off. We were adjourned for, or stood down, the case was stood down, meaning taking a brief pause. There goes one of those ugly motorcycles, chopper, custom-built choppers, Harley-Davidson style. So, went outside, I looked at the cop's piece of paper. You know, this is just, basically, it's filibustering. So, I reviewed the evidence, and then we went back into court, and we had to wait for the other trial to proceed, which the judge threw out as well, because the evidence provided by the police officer in that one was hokey. So then my turn comes up again. Mr. Faye Driver will resume proceedings. So the police officer came up, and I said... This is the Dragon Lady judge too. I've had this judge before, and she don't take no shit off, no nothing. So she's a tough cookie, that one. So you gotta really watch your P's and Q's with her. Blackwater, I believe her name is Judge Blackwater. So, how would you like to proceed, Mr. Driver? Do you want an adjournment, or are you ready to proceed? And I said, I would request an adjournment. And she said, and what is the reason for the adjournment? I said, I would like time to review the evidence and prepare my case. And she was amenable to that, and the cop got even more red. He was not pleased about that either. So then he had to go provide me with a photocopy of his evidence. This is like completely bullshit, right? So he's all pissed off. So he storms out of the court and goes down to the clerk's office and gets a photocopy made. And the clerk was giving him all kinds of... the clerk was giving him trouble. Oh, we don't usually provide photocopies. So, oh, and then he got even more red. And this was awesome. I just love this. So, although I did not get my case thrown out, I was able to receive an adjournment. I work in some lanes over here. And so now, now my case is going to be delayed even longer. And now I have to wait for a second court date so that I can present, so I can review review my evidence, which I have none. Well, I have his piece of paper. Prepare my case, which I have none. And so now I'm going to take this opportunity to go through the proper method and have this case thrown out for lack of time to receive due justice in due course. So I think I'm going to beat this one. It's just going to take a little more time. Just a little more time and one more stamp. So that's what's going on around here. Now, the other exciting things that have happened. I have to tell you, folks, we here in Vancouver experienced a really extensive windstorm that hit us really quickly. It was of small duration, about 3 hours of really extensive high winds, which created havoc for a lot of things. Many trees were blown down. We had power outages galore, and trees were taking out power lines. Trees were taking out houses. We had transformer fires, and car accidents from stoplights being out and people smashing into each other. We had people stuck in elevators. We had people whose trees landed on them and had some significant injuries from trees on the head. So, now, guess who was working the very day that the storm decided to arrive? Yeah, it was me. Now, you may not know much about my particular work environment, but I work for a small municipal fire department. Our city is about 120,000 people. We have a small complement of firemen, and I am the dispatcher. And we work on a single dispatcher system. You have one 911 operator, me, and one dispatcher, me. And when something happens, somebody calls 911, and I answer the phone, I create a call, and I dispatch it out and send a fire truck. On this particular day, we received 70 911 calls within the 3 hour period over which this storm occurred. So, you may have heard the expression, busier than a one-armed paper hanger. Well, now I know what a one-armed paper hanger feels like. It was havoc. It was crazy. We were certainly at a disadvantage for being able to respond to every situation that occurred. And of course, the phones were going crazy. But I want to say, I'm telling you all of this for one reason. Those of us who live in British Columbia, we receive our power service from a company called BC Hydro. Hydro being the major method by which we generate electricity, dams and what have you like that, right? We hardly use any coal. I don't know if we use any sort of coal-driven energy production at all. We might have some backup, diesel generators and stuff like that. But primarily, the power we receive is all hydro-generated. So BC Hydro is the company, it's the service provider for electricity for the entire province. Those poor bastards, in the lower mainland, they have somewhere on the lower mainland, meaning the greater Vancouver area, they have 1.4 million customers, and 710,000 of those customers were without power. I have to tell you, what an amazing job those guys did at BC Hydro. They deserve kudos for how they were able to deal with this major... This was basically a major disaster. virtually half of their customers without power, some of them for as long as three days, or perhaps more. But I have to say, they were able to respond to us because the fire department would be responding to wires on fire calls and transformer fires, and we'll respond to any situation where there's damage to a structure, such as the tree falling on your house. And any time that we had a situation where power was energized and people were in danger, or there was a risk to the public, those guys were able to serve us really well. So my hat's off to BC Hydro and to all my coworkers and everything, who we all worked really hard to serve the needs of the community. Everybody just did a magnificent job, I have to say. I was so impressed. Primarily, this is kudos to BC Hydro, but I was so impressed with BC Hydro and all of the crews that had to respond to this significant emergency. It really was amazing, and quite an exciting time, as you can imagine. Now, I was on duty for the 3 days. I had 3 day shifts. I usually only do 2 day shifts. I just happened to be doing a favor for somebody and working for them on the day that the windstorm arrived. So this is what happens. You do something nice for somebody and you get totally fucked over. So the 3 days, it was 3 days of emergency situations, because the power, you know, the BC Hydro would get the power back on to a set of lines, and there'd be trees were still on the lines and the trees would catch on fire. We had people's electrical panels in their houses catching on fire when the power was re-energized. So it was 3 days of havoc. So it certainly was a challenge, and certainly was one of the more memorable days of my career. I will say it was the second busiest day of my career I think I've ever experienced in the fire department. The first busiest day was the windstorm of 2008 when I was working for the city of Vancouver, and we had essentially the same situation occur. Man, that was unbelievable. That was a day. So this was very similar to that. We all worked together, we all got through it, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. So thank you to BC Hydro. And I don't know, I think, is that everything? That might be everything I need to say. So wish me luck in the future when I have to readdress this seatbelt ticket issue. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So I am the Fey Driver. We're driving the spy car today. The little silver Porsche is tucked away in the garage. I have been having an awful lot of fun learning how to drive that car. But I will save that for a time when we're actually in that car to tell you about all the nifty things that it can do. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com. One more last shout out to Becky Doodle in Iowa. I just want to say hello. And thank you for being such a great Twitter follower. All right, guys. Thanks. That's it. I'm out.